Chapman's opinion or your brief make clear the nature and extent of his expertise. You know, an awful lot depends on this guy, like everything.
Your Honor, it is clear in the record that Mr. Tonelli is a very experienced individual in the development of properties for residential type of subdivisions that the Morrisseys plan for this tract of land. He has, and his CV's in the record, his expertise is discussed extensively in the record. He has planned and developed hundreds, if not thousands, of properties in the Northeast Illinois area involving pipelines, involving floodplains, involving floodways, waters of the United States, all of which exist on the Morrissey property. The commission was thoroughly familiar with all of that background when he came in on the Morrissey property. As a land, you know, the problem is the designation of land planner sounds like I'm going to do the garden. Well, that's not really what a land planner does. Mr. Tonelli is the head of a firm comprised of engineers.
Is he an engineer?
He is not a degreed engineer. They've never said that he was.
Well, I mean,
and he doesn't have to be.
You know,
be a land planner and to be qualified to do the work he does or to give the opinion that he did. I can see I'm not answering your question directly, I guess. The best I can explain to you is that based on his experience and all the development that he's done in Will County, which I think anybody would recognize is an area that has a great deal of floodplain and floodway in it, he knows the problems that arise in developing a property like that. And that's what he explained. He did not do, and we never presented him as a detailed dollar-to-dollar calculation. There was no need to do that because the Morrisseys' plans were not of a sufficient degree of specificity that you could ever know exactly what it was going to cost to develop a particular piece of property.
Well, how do you respond to Mr. Morrissey's contention that in assessing the value of his property, the commission considered matters like the village of Minook's moratorium on annexation that occurred after the February 2003 date of value?
I don't think they considered it as a determining factor in their decision. They just noted it as one of the things that was involved in the circumstances and explained some of the background as to why Mr. Morrissey did not proceed with the plans that he allegedly had back in 2001, or back actually at the date of value.
Well, they considered it, certainly, and it was, you know, 2 years later, right?
Not unusual in these circumstances for an appraiser, and what they're really doing was looking at what the appraisers looked at. Appraisers commonly look at situations after the date of value to see if they're on track in their analyses. That was what that was all about.
I'm afraid that doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever.
Well, I apologize.
You could have an enormous jump in property values. You could have, as we are having today, an enormous lowering of property values. Why wouldn't you look at it at the exact date of the happening? Why would you look at it, you know, 2 years later?
Well,
an annexation that occurs way after.
That didn't have anything to do with the actual value of the property. The reason that was commented on, I believe, is that it explained why Mr. Morrissey, as I said a moment ago, didn't proceed with his development plans. There were plenty of other factors that the commission looked at as to the value of the Morrissey property, including the extensive floodplains and floodways on that property, it being cut in half by the Commonwealth Edison right-of-way and further cut in half by a jurisdictional Waters of the United States stream that runs north to south across the property. So they had lots of basis for their conclusion as to the value of that property.
Counsel, although it may no longer be important in this case, since it hasn't been urged by either side, but I'm puzzled about why there were any appraisers in this litigation. The critical question, I should think, is not what a particular piece of property is worth, but what is the effect on value of property in general, of a transmission corridor running through the property? There must be, particularly in your client's files, thousands upon thousands of records of what's happened to property with a pipeline running through it. You can then figure that out, use a linear regression, and figure out the cost, the value or lack of value of a pipeline. And then you'd have real data rather than people just talking off the top of their heads. I mean, why was there no real data in this case?
Well, there was real data in this case, Your Honor, and it was presented by our appraisal experts. Now, the traditional method of valuing land in these condemnation proceedings is everybody has their own appraisal experts, and they do
yes,
these traditional
appraisal
analysis.
Yes, and everybody agrees that that's equivalent of throwing darts with a blindfold on. So I'm asking why there wasn't real data.
Your Honor, there was real data presented through our appraisers of the actual experience of properties impressed with pipeline easements which were developed and in which the individual lots thereafter sold for prices comparable to the others.
That's an anecdote. Well, I'm asking about data. Data is the opposite of anecdotes.
I understand your point, Your Honor, and the fact is the industry, the appraisal industry, is not at that point of analysis in the way it does things. It's moving there. It's becoming much more of a database, hard number type of situation than it has been historically. But that isn't the nature of the appraisal practice at this moment. Now, or at the time we tried this case, in terms of the hard data that you're looking for, I'm not going to tell you we ever did a regression analysis or any kind of statistical analysis, but we certainly did find and present in this record the hard data about the effect of a piece of property that has a pipeline easement, and that effect is negligible.
Should this case be remanded so that you could have a proper hearing? I'm just amazed by what you say about appraisers. In my fairly limited experience with appraisers, they come in with an awful lot of very specific numbers, and wow.
But,
is this particular to Will County? Is this?
No, Your Honor. Perhaps I misspoke, but the appraisers here certainly did that. The traditional appraisal technique, accepted in the industry and accepted in all the cases, is that the appraiser goes out, looks at the appraisal situation that is presented, determines what is the critical issue, and then gathers data in the marketplace as to the effect of that issue on the values of properties. They look for comparable properties.
Right.
They look for sales data. They look for individuals who are planning to, say, develop a property and how they respond to that. That's the type of data that they get. All of that data was in this case. Our expert studied hundreds, if not thousands, of properties involved with pipeline easements and presented all that data in his analysis.
So your previous answer about how it's this loosey-goosey.
Well, I was responding to Judge Easterbrook to say we did not do a detailed regression analysis type statistical calculation. That has not been the practice in the appraisal industry.
My question was essentially, why in the world do you turn to appraisers? If you turn to a graduate student and ask the graduate student, can you show whether gas pipelines are worth the cost to the economy, they wouldn't turn to real estate appraisers. They would do a regression to figure out the real effect on real estate values of the pipeline. Then they would look at the value added of the pipeline to figure out whether there were benefits. And it wouldn't surprise me if such studies are already available in published literature.
Your Honor, the type of analysis that you're suggesting is the type of...
And you wouldn't have three-year condemnation hearings. You'd have 30-minute condemnation hearings.
Well, you may well be correct about that. But the type of analysis that you're describing is the type of analysis we do, and I'm presently engaged in otherwise, when we are seeking certification from the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission or the Illinois Commerce Commission for the authority to build a pipeline. The valuation question is property specific to that each individual tract, and each individual tract has its own unique characteristics, its own potential effect in terms of damage to the remainder, and that has to be analyzed individually as to that property.
It doesn't have to be. You're just making the point that it traditionally has been done in an extremely expensive and imprecise way when it could be done in a relatively cheap but aggregate way.
Well, I'm not going to debate with you whether at the moment we should try to change the practices that have been in the appraisal industry in the way the condemnation cases have been tried. Going forward, I think your suggestions are well taken.
But of course, no one suggested that here, so it's not a ground for setting anything aside. I'm just wondering. Of course, a suspicious person would say that the lawyers will always litigate the case in a way that maximizes the number of billable hours.
There's nothing I can say in response to that that isn't going to get me into trouble one way or the other, so I will forbear. We did, Your Honor. I would just point out, as long as we're having this discussion, and I find it very interesting, we presented Professor Peter Caldwell from the University of Illinois in Champaign, who is an expert in real estate finance. And we presented him for the purpose of explaining to the commission, though I believe they understood this themselves, that it was critically important that the appraiser, whatever they do, that the appraiser have real market data to base the opinion being presented, to base the opinion being upon which to base the opinion being presented. Our criticism and our reason for doing that was that the landowner defendants were bringing in appraisers who said, I don't have any data. I've just been doing this for 35 years. Take my word for it. Rely on my experience. Now, that's what Mr. Morrissey's appraiser did. Even though he admitted that he knew how to do the market studies under the traditional appraisal method, not the type of intense data analysis you're suggesting, but under the traditional methods, that he knew how to do it. He had the data available to do it. The data existed out in the marketplace. And he just chose not to do it. And therefore, he just relied on his experience, saying, I've been an appraiser for a long, long time. I'll tell you, that's what it is. We said that's not good enough. The commission agreed with us in that respect, and Judge Moran agreed with us in that respect, and I would hope that you would agree with us in that respect.
Do you see not even a whisper of a conflict of interest with Judge Ewert?
No, there's no conflict of interest here, Your Honor. None. This is an issue that the defendants have manufactured to present here because the claims that they presented when this proceeding began were huge damage to the remainder claims. In the course of the proceedings, those were shown to be without substance. They received, in the commission's awards, a very small percentage of what they sought. Overall, in this case, all the defendants, not just these appellants, but all the defendants, got less than 14% of the amounts they claimed. These defendants averaged about 10%. Now, they had to find some reason to say it didn't work. So they seized on the administrative error made by some office manager or clerk or somebody in the law office that Judge or Commissioner Ewert is associated with.
So, in other words, this judge should not have disclosed sua sponte his firm's representation of pipeline companies so that it could have been explored on the record before the fact.
Well, Your Honor, he was not a judge. He was just a commissioner. And
he had been a judge.
Well, he had been a judge, and I believe Judge Ewert to be a very honorable man.
I don't know Judge Ewert. I'm certain he's an honorable man, but, you know, We all make mistakes.
A mistake was made here. The mistake was made by some administrative person in the office. That has been seized on and blown out of all proportion. There is no substance.
Here's my problem. Why was it some administrative person in the office? You know, why is it always the secretary and the butler? Why doesn't a judge have, a duty to say, you know, folks, you may be interested to know that I now am with a firm which represents all of these pipeline companies.
Well,
and do any of you have any problem with that? I mean, we do that all the time.
That was known and knowable. We had his bio. We knew who he was. I looked him up. I called people and talked to him about who he was. Anybody could have, to Judge Easterbrook's question, anybody could have seen that easily. He disclosed his bio. I don't think that there's a reason for him to say specifically, this firm has historically done this, that, or the other, and by the way, its representation of pipeline companies is not
so
nearly...
You say you looked him up. Is Martindale Hubbell lists his firm's clients?
Yes, I think Martindale does, but I know that Sullivan's does, because that's the one I routinely look at to begin with.
But it was only a year later. Would it have even have been in there?
Well, it wouldn't have listed Guardian, because that mistake didn't come along until sometime in 2005 or so. But if you go back to 2002, when the commissioners were appointed, the information about the representative clients of that firm was in Sullivan's, and some of them were pipeline companies.
Sullivan's, too.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear your question, Judge.
So you say it was in both Martindale, Hubbell, and Sullivan's?
I don't want to misrepresent and say I know for a fact that it was in Martindale, but I certainly believe it was in Sullivan's, because it's been a long time ago, but I remember looking up the two commissioners that I didn't know. I knew Commissioner Davis because she had been a commissioner in the Vector Pipeline case that I was involved in. And the other two, I looked up that information and called people and did my own investigation about who they were and what I needed to know about them. My life seems to have gotten short.
Lucky you.
Well, I'd be happy to ask you any more questions you have, Your Honor. That's it.
Thank you very much, counsel.
Thank you.
Mr. Morrissey, anything further?
First, there was real market data. We heard from counsel, and we've heard this over and over again. There was real market data, matched pairs, offered in this case, and our appraiser came forth with two development tracts right across the street from us, each other.
You know, by the way, that statisticians laugh at matched pair analysis. It has no statistical validity. That's why I asked about gathering data on thousands of tracts and doing regressions. Saying that we had matched pairs will, if you were taking a class in statistics, get you a failing grade.
And certainly if my client had that kind of money, Judge, I would have done it to prove my point in this case.
It's cheaper.
The study itself, though, you would have to, as you state, look at thousands of properties.
The kind of thing a graduate student can do. That's why I'm asking why one spends, thousands, tens of thousands on these appraisers and litigates for 3 years. When in much less time, a graduate student could do a much more comprehensive study. And there are publicly available data from which this can be done.
And that's point one. The second point is Mr. Tonelli was never offered as an expert. He was never offered as an expert in anything, and he certainly was never qualified as anything. We didn't get a chance to, it wasn't at this time we offer Mr. Tonelli as an expert in this field, so I don't know what he's an expert in. As far as the issues with respect to the highest and best use, it's real clear. There's one paragraph where they discuss the highest and best use. We set it forth in a block quote in our brief for good reason. There are five errors in that paragraph, five misapplied legal standards, and each and every one of them is grounds for reversal, because if you don't get the highest and best use right, you haven't determined damages right. The commission determined that it had a market value, the property had a market value of $25,000 per acre. I see my time has expired. Can I conclude? $25,000 per acre, but found that it didn't have a development use because the market was speculating. And I would suggest to the court that is not this circuit's law. When the market backs their views with cash, market value controls in this circuit. This judgment of the district court should be reversed, and the appellant should be given a new trial in this matter. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The case is taken under advisement.